There. So the recording started, and as you know, those of you who are not new, you'll get the recording in a few days, and there'll be several places in which you can listen to the recording. So once again, I'm Mark Howard. Welcome to today's teleseminar, and just glad to have you here. Usually how we run this is that I'm going to talk for a bit on our topic today, and hopefully you'll find it helpful, you know, and making sense for you. And then I'm going to just open it up to hear any questions or anything you want to share, either from today's teleseminar or something that you'd like to share about your own understanding of Sydney Banks' teachings, the three principles. And really, that was the purpose in my creating these teleseminars, is that it's kind of like here in the States, a town hall meeting where people gather and a politician speaks for a bit, and then everybody in the community can ask questions and share. And me, I'm no politician, so it's just an opportunity to share about Sydney Banks' understanding and the three principles, and all of us together kind of share. So again, you know, these teleseminars and podcasts are built on my understanding over 41 years of Sydney Banks' teachings and the three principles. So before we start today, two offerings that I want you to be aware of that you're invited to. The first one is I'm doing an in-person retreat, the first in-person retreat I've done since COVID, in Lake Tahoe, which is in California-Nevada border, in those two states on the West Coast, and it starts the evening of May 17th. And it'd be great to have you there. It's going to be 3 days, and we'll just kind of explore together this understanding. You will find the link for it in the email I send you with these recordings. So when you get the email for these recordings, take a look for the link for the retreat. The other thing that I do every so often, and I decided to offer this for the rest of this month and the full month of May, is anybody on the call or listening to the recording, I'm offering a free coaching session. So if you'd like to have a free coaching session with me, email me at drmarkhoward@comcast.net. So those are just two offerings I wanted you to be aware of, that it'd be great to connect with you with either one of those. So what about today, and what do we mean by innate mental health? Well, innate mental health, is truly just a way we've called dropping into your true nature, into your divine wisdom. And we call it innate mental health only because in the beginnings and people that gather together to listen to Sydney Banks and learn more, many of them came from the field of psychology, psychiatry, therapy, mental health practices. So the real meaning of innate mental health, we'll get to in a few minutes. But it really is available to everyone at any time. And what I have found over the years is when people truly realize the principles, when people truly realize for themselves that their experience in the moment is being created through the power of thought and brought to life through consciousness, that it's coming from within. And people realize that, you drop into well-being. The minute you have an insight into where your experience or your feelings, whatever, are coming from, you will automatically be in well-being. You'll be in what we call innate mental health. You'll drop into your wisdom. You'll be in the feeling of this intelligence of mind. Really, that's all it takes. And now, it isn't an intellectual understanding, because so many people recognize thinking has something to do with it. And but this is a true knowing that everything you experience in your life is being created through the way you use the power of thought and brought to life, made real, so that you feel it in your body, so that your chemistry reacts, so that you have these feelings, is that your thinking is brought to life by consciousness. And when people see that, they automatically drop into innate mental health. They find for themselves a knowledge that takes them beyond their habits of thinking. Again, the way we use thought, or been taught to use thought, where we develop greed or envy or comparisons or self-judgments or joy or fun or love for another person, to see that those experiences that we thought were coming from circumstances around us or blaming it on other people or even ourselves, you know, when we make self-judgments, just a learned way that we use the power of thought. And when we think this way, it comes to life for us. We are thinking we've done badly, you know. We are comparing ourselves to thinking somebody is doing much better than us, because it comes to life through consciousness. So all I'm saying is, when you truly see that to be true, that moment you get a glimpse, oh man, that's what's going on. For me, the immediate glimpse was, I make up my feelings. Now, it evolved into much more, but I had a realization that I was creating through thought my feelings. Now, the minute that happens, you drop into well-being, you drop into what people call self-esteem, you drop into mental health, all of the words for the same thing. You drop into the beautiful essence that you are, that contains the divine wisdom guiding you through life. And I woke up this morning and I had, you know, thoughts of sharing with you today. And what came to mind were the memories of my time with an inpatient psychiatry unit that I was invited to help out during the COVID pandemic. And so I agreed to help them 2 days a week, and I would help human beings that were truly suffering, you know, beyond just how you and I suffer, you know, with our worries or, you know, our concerns or, you know, our self-evaluation, even our low moods. These people were really in frightening thinking about life and about themselves that frightened them. It's called professionally like delusional thinking or psychotic thinking or, you know, thinking like that. Now, when people were in that thinking, they were agitated, they were scared, because it was frightening thoughts. But what I remember in meeting with them and my continuing to point them to that is just thought, that when you think that it comes to life because of consciousness, in my own way, continuing to share that with them, people would catch on. It would make sense to them. And the minute they saw the truth of that, they would no longer be in that state. They would no longer be in that state. They would have compassion for themselves. They would see a way to take better care. They would be able to look with hope and see possibility. But again, over my 41 years, I've seen that with people dealing with any kinds of situations or thinking, that the minute you dropped into seeing where that experience is coming from, truly seeing it, people dropped into innate mental health, divine wisdom, their true nature. So the people within the three principles world call that state, that consciousness, different things. So what does it mean in terms of today's topic? What are we referencing when we're talking about innate mental health? Well, we're talking about something quite natural to all human beings, that the minute you drop into this consciousness, you have compassion. You see that you might call it the innocence of you and other people for the actions they are doing. You realize that no human being can do anything other than the thinking that's on their mind at the time. And the minute you truly understand that about people, you have compassion. You see that everyone has frailties. Everyone has ways of having learned the ways to think that has them acting in ways that trouble other people or may offend other people, may hurt other people, may disappoint other people, as well as ways that they enjoy life. So it's not so much what are they thinking, it's you just knowing that the actions this person is demonstrating right now, the behavior they have in front of you, or your own behavior, is just the result of how you engage kind of a learned habit of thinking, and it's brought to life for you, and you're living in it. And of course, you've got to act from that. So dropping into innate mental health, you quite naturally have compassion. It's just there. Now, you also have resilience. You have the capacity to go beyond adversity. Again, thinking about today, my colleague Roger Mills and his work came to mind. Roger Mills was one of the first professionals to meet Sydney Banks and actually bought a house on Salt Spring Island and spent a summer there. But he took this understanding into very, very troubled communities, communities with drug addiction and people in, very low moods. And he started to offer classes. And people really... not many people attended classes, you could imagine. But that didn't deter Roger. He knocked on doors met people and invited them to his classes. Now, the people that came were depressed, troubled, may have been using alcohol or drugs. And yet, as they began to realize the principles, they became resilient to the adversity around them in those communities. They became resilient and rose above the thinking they had been enveloped in. So much so that from Roger's first community, Modelo, there's a book about that as well. You can read how that became a thriving, healthy community. But Roger brought five women who had attended these parenting classes that really became resilient to the circumstances they were facing in that community, dropped into innate mental health. And another piece that's in that consciousness, in that boiling pot, you know, of well-being or mental health, was creativity. And they created ways. Once they dropped into this mental health and found compassion for themselves, their children, the community, they found hope and resiliency. They found like the ability to rebound when something happened in the community that affected them. They found creativity. They started to live beyond the thinking that kept them in this particular low levels of consciousness. And so by the time we met them, when Roger brought them to a conference, they had already petition the county board for ways to upgrade their community. They had already found ways to actually remove the drug dealers that were on the street corners. Honestly, five women started to do all of this to change the community, and it became a vibrant, healthy, life-supporting place to live. So resilient. This adverse community, people dropping into innate mental health, found the resiliency to go to rebound from that adversity. Not really anymore see it as adversity where it took them down, but instead moved away from thinking that way and found their own hope and saw possibilities and started to create ways to heal the community. It was so touching to see this. And again, this was very early in my connection to this understanding. It was probably my first year when they had this conference. And when I saw evidence of human beings rising out of misery by understanding how thought and consciousness work, because that's what they shared with us. They shared with us first their insights, and then they shared with us the results. It convinced me there's power in understanding the principle. That's really what allows people to find their own wisdom and guidance. So when you drop into innate mental health, all of this becomes available and much more. Love and understanding is there. And in the state of love, you connect with people. You're close to people. You're generous. You might be thankful for your life or the people in your life. So you really move dramatically from regret to being thankful. From thinking you've done so much wrong to feeling blessed for all of what you went through. So that's what we mean by innate mental health. It's like a consciousness. It's like a space in you that you drop into immediately when you really realize for yourself the power of thought and consciousness. When you see that your experience moment to moment is really being created from within through the way you think and how that's brought to life for you through consciousness. And you see it your way. It's not you're going to see it just the way I said it, you know. It's going to occur to you your way. But it doesn't matter how it occurs to you. It's that when it does occur to you, when you do say, oh, man, that's true. Oh, that's right. That feels true. I see that now. However it comes to you, you're in this innate mental health. You're in your true essence. You are your true nature. And when you're there, you have all these wonderful ways you're guided in life. And they come to you as you're needed. If you need forgiveness, that'll come to mind. Honestly, if you need compassion, that'll come to mind. If you need to apologize, that'll come to mind.
The moderator has left the conference.
Oh, I'm sorry, everyone. Something got triggered on my phone, and I got disconnected. Sorry about that. I'm looking to move our meetings to another device rather than having to use a phone. But I hope, you know, I was just trying to convey that when you drop into what we're calling innate mental health today, from the fact that you see once again how you're having the experience you're having in this moment, when you drop into there, not only do you have all of these, I guess, feelings or thoughts or this wellspring of wisdom and guidance, but it comes to you as you need it. So if you need forgiveness, it'll come to you. If you need to apologize, it'll come to you. If you need to have a talk with someone, it'll come to you. If you need to change something, it'll come to you. I've seen this happen so much in my life. I remember this one time when I was just driving along. At that time, I was still working in the medical center, and I was driving to work, and all of a sudden, I remembered. I had forgotten this for many years. I remembered I have identical twin sisters, and we were together one time, and I really said something that offended both of them. It was really harsh and mean-spirited. And as I was driving along, this was like 3 years later, that came to me. I remembered that. And the minute I remember that, it occurred to me to apologize, just like that. And I did. I followed that because I knew I had seen something and was guided to take care of that relationship. Now, of course, they weren't really holding it against me, but they remembered being hurt by me. And but what I'm sharing with you in that example is that what I needed to do from this space of beautiful feelings, this space of innate mental health, I was given what I needed to do. Now, I could have thought to do that a couple of years before, but I would have held to my thinking at that time. No, I was right. See, I could have thought to apologize, but I would have had an excuse not to. But when it came from this place, you know, this, I don't know, source of well-being, I knew it to be true, and I just went about it. It was just nothing. I saw the truth of it. So I'm just using that as an example that as you drop into innate mental health, as you kind of stay with a calm mind, what you need from that resource, whether you need resiliency, whether you need compassion, whether you need love and understanding, it will come to you. Isn't that beautiful? I mean, isn't that profound? Yeah, you know, I think what we're talking about today in innate mental health is really a state of consciousness that we hardly can imagine of what's available to us when we just drop into that. And I'm sure all of you have had experiences like that, where out of the blue, you're guided with compassion or with forgiveness or with apology. I mean, I remember, you know, like talking to someone who was holding a grudge for 10 years and they realized that that was just a thought they're having. They were making that thought up, carrying this memory through 10 years, looking at it the same habitual way. They had an insight into it that they were able to let it go and forgive the person with understanding that we call compassion. So this innate mental health is a profound state of mind, a profound level of consciousness that we have now. We have it now. So we have happiness, love, compassion, forgiveness, creativity, ways to take care of an issue now. Again, like I've said in other podcasts or teleseminars, were it not for our thinking. So I just wanted to share with you today what we mean by innate mental health and why we would even use that term. You know, it's just the fact that it's just a term because we were trying to describe this indescribable state of being. And at that time, most people that had gathered, a handful or so, were coming from the field of mental health. So I hope that made sense and was helpful. And before I check in with you, I just wanted to remind everybody who came in after I made the announcement that I have two offers occurring in May. I have an in-person retreat that starts on May 17th, and I will send you the link when I send you out the recording. And the other thing is, for the rest of this month and the month of May, I'm offering everyone, anyone who wants to, a free coaching session with me. Just email me at drmarkhoward@comcast.net. I just didn't want you to miss that as we go along now for the rest of the time. So, this is the part of why I started the teleseminars over 10 years ago now, is that we can hear from the people that are here, that they have input as well, that they can ask questions, they could share what they thought of today's teleseminar, or they could share something about their own understanding of the principles. So I would love to hear from people that are here. And to do that, you need to press *2 on your phone, *2. And that way I could see you want to share, and open that up for you. So really, I want to hear from anyone that loved to share. Because if you've heard the previous podcast or teleseminars, when people share, we learn more. And so anything you'd like to share about today, or anything strike you or touch you, or any questions you have, or anything you'd like to share with all of us about what you're seeing from your understanding of Sydney's teachings or the principles. Who'd like to start us off? Oh, good. Here we have somebody. All I have is identifying you as, it says, Easton, Maine or Massachusetts?
It's Massachusetts. It's Richie, Mark. Hi, how are you?
Oh, Richie. Hi.
Great topic today. I read the Modelo book, I think, early on in my Three Principles journey. It was probably the second or third book that I read. It was so inspiring. Such a challenging situation. And my mind just went blank on the fellow that went in.
Oh, Roger Mills.
Roger Mills.
Yeah.
He exemplified resilience. To go into a circumstance like that, and it wasn't like he walked in and they jumped up with joy and say, finally, our Savior has come. He had to put in a lot of legwork and effort to win people over. That kind of resilience to keep, to trust in what he was doing and keep going back in there was such a, and then to get the results that he got was such an inspiring story. So appreciated you bringing that up to illustrate the resilience that comes with innate mental health. So that was great. And what I've been saying in the last, I'd say, couple weeks is that I guess I would gloss over mental and would think of it just as innate health. And when I have some physical health situation, I was getting hung up in that and found my mood going down, worried about my health situation, my physical health.
Yeah.
And I had a conversation with another principal's person, and I described what was going on, I think she said something like, "So why is that bad?" And the light bulb went off. It's like I'm whatever sensations are going on in my body, I'm labeling it as this isn't good for me, this is bad, this means I'm getting old, I'm getting decrepit. And when she said, why does it mean that? Why is it bad? And then the light just went off, and I went, oh, my God. So it was a, I guess what I would refer to as a blind spot. I couldn't see how my thinking was turning whatever was going on in my body into something bad. I was creating that in my own mind.
Yeah.
And so that was a big aha. That, you know, when is a sensation a nice sensation? When is it a not so nice sensation? When does it mean it's just indigestion? When does it mean, oh my God, I've got this horrible thing going on and I'm going to die soon, or I'm going to be in some kind of catastrophic situation? And just her asking that question, why does that mean it's bad? And it was, I felt like in that instant I was connected to innate mental health.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm trying to describe. It is that moment of the light bulb lighting up. But it's more than the light bulb. It's just this deep understanding and knowing. And how beautiful, Richie. And again, you know, as Sid said, it gives you freedom. Freedom from your habitual way of thinking. Thank you so much for sharing such a beautiful insight, you know. And the other piece, you know, around living in innate mental health, you just live in it, you know. And like Roger never thought of himself as resilient. He was in this deep feeling that this community had health within.
Mm.
And he wanted to help the community see it. He was in that beautiful feeling of knowing that these individuals brought down by depression or drug use had within them innate mental health. So he was in that beautiful feeling of wanting to find a way for the community to drop into innate mental health. In the midst of that, he had a lot of adversity, but he didn't see himself resilient. We put that, you know, like Richie, I don't mean it's what you're saying, but we put that, we describe a way that a person uses innate mental health in certain ways. We can't help it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And but it's just great to know that when you're in innate mental health, you have the resilience to have kind of a shield around you from adversity. And that doesn't mean like, you know, out here in Northern California, we've had all these fires. That doesn't mean you're not sad about losing your home. But you have the resilience to not let that take you down. To be able to find your way, your own way, to live given that adversity and actually live beyond that. So thank you for sharing about Modelo and also about what you've seen.
Yeah. Thank you, Mark. Thanks.
You're welcome. Anybody else like to share with us? You just hit *2 on your phone. What a beautiful feeling when, you know, Richie, was telling us, sharing with us some things he wants to share with us, but can you feel the feeling? It's really the feeling from which he's sharing that moves us. Oh, we have two people. Great, two more people. There's somebody, it says Marina from Vancouver.
Hi, Mark.
Hi.
Yeah, I have a question. I would be really interested to hear your thoughts about the apology. You already talked about it today, and I'm just wondering about your thoughts about insincere apology, because sometimes people mean it and sometimes they don't. And the way how do you know is that they apologize, but then they go back to the old ways of doing things, or worse, or it's just like they're getting second chance, or third, or tenth chance, and then it all goes back to the old way. Like, what are your thoughts about insincere apology? Thank you.
Well, Marina, that's a great question. So first, I know that I could feel the difference. I really can feel the difference when someone is apologizing from this place we've been describing and talking about together, compared to a person thinking, well, that's a good idea. You know, it's a good idea, or it'll get me out of hot water. But they're not coming from a deeper place of knowing, of taking responsibility. That's where it comes from, and knowing that you hurt someone and you need to make it right. So first, when I've received an apology, I could tell where they're coming from. Now, here's the other thing. You know, all of us have levels of consciousness that we're in, you know? And so when our levels of consciousness drop, we're in our worst thinking. And so when we have an apology, when we get guided to have an apology, we're at a high level of consciousness, you might say. But that doesn't guarantee we're going to stay there, because these habits of thought are, you know, you never get rid of them 100%. So they come back, and a person's level of consciousness may drop, and they may act the same way. That doesn't mean they weren't sorry when they said it. What it means is that person got lost again. This, I'm telling you, if that person truly apologized from this feeling of needing to correct things or make things right, that doesn't mean they may not do their same habitual behavior. But if they really saw something, they would apologize again. So that's one thing. You have to see that people may act again in a way that they're apologizing for because their level of consciousness dropped, like it does for all of us, and they got lost. So they do what they do when they got lost. But if they truly seen something when they apologize, when they get lost again, it'll come back. And so they'll apologize and you'll feel it. So you can't measure insincere apologies on whether or not somebody does the act behavior again, because that's just levels of consciousness. You gauge the sincerity of the apology from the feeling at which the person's coming from, the feeling you get from them. So truly, as people begin to genuinely apologize from that feeling, you should find in a while that people are quick to move out of those hurtful behaviors. When I, in relationship to one of the directors I reported to in my work, I used to judge this person. And once I realized, saw her with compassion, man, she's just caught up in, she's just caught in a low level of consciousness, in what Sid would call insecurity. I would say being lost. This is how she acts. And my heart went out to her, understanding that. And seeing that, it occurred to me, it came to me out of the blue, I never thought of this ever, to apologize for anything I did that contributed to her having insecurity. I had never seen that I was doing that. So when you drop into this innate mental health, it shows you things that you've never seen before. And then it's a no-brainer to go do what comes to mind. Mostly if somebody's apologizing to you because they've had an insight, their behavior will tend to reduce. But that doesn't mean it'll go away after the first or second apology. Again, because they too have changes in their level of consciousness, and when their consciousness drops, they go into their habits. When they're insecure, they go into their habits. So you gauge the sincerity by the feeling you get when they apologize. So I hope that helped, Marina. And we have one more here from Twin Cities. It says Larson Tyson. Hello?
Hi, Mark.
Oh, hi.
Hi. I have a question. I work as a nurse, and I've been working in a locked mental health unit for about 6 months now. And, going into the job, I thought it was somehow my job to fix the people that were there. But I've seen that my role is really to accept them and obviously do my nursing duties too. And, I pass meds and have conversations with them. I sometimes struggle because they have, they come in psychotic, paranoid, delusional, sometimes catatonic. So they have real diagnoses.
Sure.
And I struggle to see, I see their innate health, but I see it. Sometimes I struggle, and I struggle to see how this can be a thought problem. And so I don't know if you can speak to any of that. I don't know if I have a real question. I know that it helps when I'm in a better state of mind and, I see my own innate health and can feel that coming through, when I am at work with them. I know better how to help them. But I think I still just struggle to see their innate health when they come back so many times. It seems like they come through the system so many times.
Well, you're doing tremendous work. And and that you're looking to see their mental health, their innate mental health. What a beautiful thing. They'll feel that even if you can't quite get there in a, you know, in the morning or afternoon, you know, you can't quite get there. They're going to feel you looking for that. And again, you know, what a wonderful place to be looking as a nurse in that setting, because it's really your love and understanding that, you know, you're on the front line there. So I think, you know, again, you know, people in that state of mind, you do have to use the power you have to think to know how to manage. They're at times being called on to manage, but you see, a deeper way of looking at it than innate mental health is that every human being is mind. Every human being is the principles. It can't skip anybody. You see, it can't. So no matter how much a person is lost in a level of insecure thinking, it doesn't take them away from being mind. So what does that mean? Well, honestly, what it means is at any moment they can drop into the divine intelligence that can guide them beyond that fearful thinking. So that's another way of looking at it, is that, you know, despite the quality of their thinking, they are mind just like you. They're the same spiritual energy like you in that moment. And really all you want is to know that in your heart. And you know, whenever I was meeting with someone who truly had, I mean, delusional, psychotic thinking, my just sitting in that knowing helped a great deal, and it helped me get guided to see how, what can I point out to them? What's something that I could just kind of simply point out? And sometimes it might be just to tell them not to be so frightened by how they're thinking. Sometimes I invited them to just take a look to see if they could see this as thought, just thinking they get into when they're scared. Just something little like that, you know, because there wasn't much to do when somebody's really caught in that thinking, just as there isn't more you could do with somebody caught up in obsessive thinking, a milder form of insecure thinking. But if your heart is in the place to look beyond how they're showing up and just sit in knowing their mind, and knowing at any moment they could drop into innate mental health. And they probably have, you know, they probably have in the hospital or outside of the hospital. The problem with them, so that's the first thing. And that you're looking to see that in people, just stay there. Don't think about whether you're seeing it today or not. Stay with wanting to see that in the patients you're treating. The feeling of you looking there helps those patients. It helps them. They can feel the difference in terms of how you're looking at them. Now, people come back because, you know, they may have stabilized because of the medicine. They may have learned something that was helpful. But again, you know, even with the understanding of the principles, it helps to sustain that in some way, you know, to keep reminded of it as you're first learning this understanding. It helped me through the first couple of years having a small group of people that I could talk with once a month or listen to Sydney's tapes that I would listen to regularly, you know. So, you know, people coming back, they just got trapped in a low level of consciousness again and got to thinking that this insecure thinking looks real. But what will come to you about how to serve them in the moment will be if you stay in your innate mental health, your goodwill, your compassion, not sympathy, your compassion, and looking beyond the way they show up to the fact of their mind. And you just keep sitting in that. You just keep looking for that. Maybe you, as you get to the nurse's station, maybe you sit and just drop into this, drop into knowing this, remind yourself to look there, get into the feeling of this. But if you keep looking there, you'll be guided in terms of how to be with them even in a more valuable way than you are now. In my work in the units, the nursing staff were the most important staff. And, you know, when I saw the nursing staff that came with love, patients responded. Or just, you know, treating them as any ordinary person. Of course, managing how their thinking is affecting them. You know, I'm not overriding that. So I hope that was helpful to you. Just a wonderful, you're just in a wonderful place to serve people that are in frightening worlds, you know, inside of themselves. I'm so happy you're looking to try to see deeper what is there in these human beings. Well, this was great. You know, it's coming time to a close. These are just wonderful questions. I mean, my goodness, we could do an hour on each one. And just love the feeling of the three of you that shared. You're in a beautiful feeling and you just want to acknowledge that and see that's all it takes is the feeling. So we'll come to a close for this month. I'll be sending out another teleseminar announcement for next month. You'll be getting the recording for this in a few days or so. And just great to be with you today. And thank you all for being here. And we'll see you all next month. Bye.